It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. If you're like me, you probably know people who are devoted to the paleo diet. They eat only the food that they think our ancient ancestors hunted or gathered. At least that's the theory of this paleo diet. But are 21st century humans really meant to eat the way they did back in Paleolithic times? Our bodies have adapted over the centuries for better and worse, and so have our lifestyles. It's something evolutionary biologist Daniel Lieberman's given a lot of thought to. His new book, The Story of the Human Body, Evolution, Health, and Disease, examines how our bodies evolved and why some of those adaptations don't serve us very well in the modern era. Welcome to KUOW.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're also an anthropologist, a paleoanthropologist. I'm not sure which title to give you, but evolutionary biologist served for this purpose?
Sure. I'm a cross between an evolutionary biologist and an anthropologist and a paleontologist and a who knows what.
So when I hear those terms, I don't necessarily think modern health and disease. So where did those two fields, all those fields, cross?
That's a good question. So I started off in this subject really looking at the evolution of humans in terms of the tree, the family tree of humans, who begat whom, essentially. And over the years, as I was teaching, realized that most of my students really didn't care who begat whom. And they, you know, there are all these different species, Australopithecus africanus and Australopithecus afarensis and Australopithecus thisis and thatsis. And so I was making them memorize, you know, the dates and places and who discovered them and how large their teeth were and all that. And what, of course, the students were interested in was why that matters. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that, you know, that's really what my field is most important about, because most of us, we can't, you know, go back and shift our ancestors, but we have inherited their bodies in many regards, and we're now using them in all kinds of interesting ways. And so I've become increasingly focused on the issue of how and why our bodies got to be the way they are, but also how and why that's relevant for the way we use our bodies.
And if I understand you correctly, the driving force behind how our bodies got to be the way they are is reproduction. It's procreating.
Absolutely. I mean, natural selection cares most about babies, right? What drives fitness from an evolutionary perspective, what's called Darwinian fitness, is how many offspring you have, which then survive to have offspring. So one of the important points to remember, or to which follows from that realization, is that, you know, we weren't adapted necessarily to be healthy. We're adapted to be healthy insofar as health helps us have more offspring. And so that's one of the problems with the paleo diet, this assumption that if our ancestors did it, it must be healthy. That's clearly not the case in many regards, and sometimes it is the case.
This book is far-ranging and wide-sweeping. It's hard to sort of capsulize a conversation about it. But when I started reading, I can show you the piece of paper. I wrote down three words. Can you see them? Makes me think of WALL-E.
Oh, absolutely.
And I hadn't even read any of the interviews that you've done where you compare it. For people who haven't seen the Pixar film WALL-E, humans have left the Earth because it's been despoiled totally, and they're orbiting endlessly in space, and they sit in pod chairs. They're ginormously fat. They drink sodas, and they are sort of surrounded by screens projecting. I'm not actually remembering what, but
well, they're being taken care of by a corporation. So WALL-E, sadly, I think, is not a bad guess of where we're headed, and I think that's one of the things that makes the film so troubling, because we are becoming, you know, on the one hand, human beings today are living longer than we ever did before. We're taller. We don't die of infectious diseases that used to kill us by droves. Infant mortality rates are down to less than 1%. But on the other hand, there are all kinds of non-infectious diseases that we suffer from, which our ancestors never suffered from before. And what we do is we instinctively treat the symptoms of those diseases. That's how our medical system is designed. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, when somebody's sick, you need to treat them. That's good and right and proper. But the problem is that we've created an interesting new dynamic, an evolutionary dynamic, whereby by not addressing the causes of these diseases, we set in motion a vicious circle, a pernicious feedback loop that keeps those diseases common. So we don't, for example, pass on diabetes or flat feet or cancer to our children, but we pass on the environmental conditions that promote those diseases that, through interactions with our genes. And WALL-E really is the ne plus ultra sort of realization of where that may lead us.
hopefully it's a cautionary tale. We're speaking with Daniel Lieberman. His new book is called The Story of the Human Body. So to go back to that idea of the paleo diet, which is pretty much an extreme version of what nutritionists talk about. To be healthy, you should eat plenty of fresh fruits and vegetables, drink water, not artificially produced drinks and things like that. And then there's this one thing that a lot of scientists, including yourself, have written about is sort of like the evil keystone, which is white processed sugar.
Yeah, there's no question that if there's any one sort of evil ingredient out there that we overconsume, it's sugar. So a typical hunter-gatherer probably gets between about 6 to 10 pounds of sugar in a year because most of the fruits, for example, that hunter-gatherers eat don't have that much sugar in them. They get honey occasionally, which is their favorite food if they live in a place where bees are, of course, and they love that. But for the most part, the sugar they get is bound up in cells, right? And so those cells provide what we call fiber. And a typical hunter-gatherer is eating, what, about 80 to 100 pounds of fiber a year. We get 100 pounds of sugar a year, and it's now been removed from any of that fiber. And what happens is that sugar hits our bloodstream or hits our liver, and so fructose and glucose, the two basic constituents of most sugars. One, glucose goes straight to your bloodstream, causes insulin levels to rise. Those are called high glycemic foods, and those cause a litany of problems. High fructose foods go straight to your liver. Your liver can't handle them in the doses and rates that we get them, and they cause fatty liver syndrome and central, you know, belly fat and various other problems. And together, they're leading to a litany of health problems, such as type 2 diabetes and heart disease, and the list goes on. And these are all preventable illnesses.
Are these illnesses that did not exist before the late 20th century?
They probably existed. Well, some of them, but they were certainly much more rare. Diabetes, type 2 diabetes, for example, has really risen dramatically by many orders of magnitude. It was extremely rare in before the modern era because people had to work hard and they didn't get access to a lot of these foods. We often talk about agriculture. People often demonize agriculture as being the beginning of the end, you know. And as soon as people started farming, they ate all these grains and cereals and sugars. But most farmers have to work really hard. They actually have to work harder than hunter-gatherers. And physical activity actually has buffering effects. It actually prevents you from getting sick from these carbohydrates. But today we've kind of combined these high sugar, high carb diets, and then also removed physical activity from our lives. I mean, look at you and I, we're sitting in these comfy chairs.
Yes.
And I took those elevators to take us everywhere. And, you know, and the combination of these two is like a 1-2 punch. And our bodies simply are not well adapted for them. And that's the bad news. But the good news is it's actually not too hard to reintroduce them, you know, to reintroduce some sanity into one's life.